Okay, everyone. A little late, but time to get going. I had a different class that I gave a private class a little earlier, so that's why we're off. Tonight is a class called Holy Teachings, in which we learned something from the various different Hasidic masters on the Parsha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehachol Mivareh. This year we're focusing on the Naftali of Rapshitz in his holy sefer, in his holy book, Zera Kodesh. It actually has the word holiness in it. I call it Holy Teachings. And also the sefer Agra de Kala, from the great contemporary of Rav Naftali Rapshitz, Rabbi Yisachar, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech, the one who made the sefer Bnei Yisachar. His name was not Yisachar, he's from Shevet Yisachar. Tzvi Elimelech of Dinuv, the great Bnei Yisachar. Okay, so we begin, and the Parshas Toldos, I'm a little tired, so I hope we get through this. Okay, I made a coffee, so hopefully that'll keep me awake. But it's late night learning. I'm just going to straighten this out a little. Okay, here we are. Okay. So the Parsha starts with Yitzchak and Rivka, Isaac and Rebekah being childless. And they pray. Yitzchak and Rivka pray for children, and only after they pray for children, God gives them children. Interesting. We don't find by Abraham, by Avraham, and Sarah that they pray for children. They get promises by Hashem for children. We don't see them praying. By Yaakov and Rachel, Rachel has complaints to Yaakov, how come he's not praying for her? Don't necessarily see that Yaakov did pray for her. She's complaining why he's not praying for her. But Yitzchak and Rivka, by them you find the prayer. And that makes sense because we know that Yitzchak is the pillar of prayer. Avram is the pillar of kindness. And Yitzchak is the pillar of divine service, which means either sacrifices or what comes in the place of sacrifice, which is prayer. And Yaakov is Torah study. But Yitzchak, we see the emphasis on prayer, and the only prayer we find in Yitzchak that he prayed was, we find earlier that he went out to pray right before his wife, his bride was coming. Yitzchak went out to speak in the field, and we know that at that time Yitzchak instituted the prayer of Mincha, but it doesn't say specifically outright that he was praying. It just says he went out to talk in the field, which is sages say that talking is prayer. But over here, there's a specific, a very explicit statement about Yitzchak. Yitzchak is praying. What is he praying for? He's praying for children. And he's praying because his wife is barren. Lenochach ishtoi, for his wife. The verse says, ki akara hi, because she was barren. Let's read that verse, and we're going to insert some Hasidic teachings on this. Primarily, we're going to focus on this pasuk. I will maybe at the end mention some other teaching later in the parasha, but we're going to focus primarily on this pasuk. This is the third one, the third pasuk in this parasha. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem, and Yitzchak pleads to God, Lenoichach Ishtoi, opposite his wife. You can read it, it means on behalf of his wife, for the sake of his wife, but Rashi explains, on behalf of his wife, opposite his wife means that she as well was engaging in this prayer. He stood together with her in prayer. She stood on one side of the room. He stood on the other side of the room, and they were praying and pleading and beseeching God's mercy for them to have children. Why did they have to pray? Ki akarahi. This is already 20 years after their marriage, and they didn't merit children yet. They got married when she was very young. That's a weird story, but that's the way it is. The Torah says, according to our tradition, Rivka was actually married to Yitzchak when she was 3 years old. We have to assume that she was more of a developed child. As we know, today's days, you'd get arrested for that. But obviously, this was a divinely ordained. It was a very godly act. But she still could not have children at that time. They had to wait 10 years. And then when she would be an age where she can technically already conceive. After 10 years, she's 13 years old. She's in her teenage years. And then it took another 10 years. She still didn't have children. So now she's already the age of 23. And at that time, it became clear that she was not meant, based on her natural state, to have a child. She's a barren woman. And that's why they needed prayers. So she and Yitzchak together prayed. Then it says, "Va'yasalei Hashem," and Hashem responded to him. "V'taharif ke'ishtai." I mean, and it says particularly that Hashem responded to his prayer. Rashi explains why God listened to him, not to her. His prayer was accepted, and Rivka became pregnant. Okay, this is the simple story. We want to get into the level of sod, of secret. What's the secret over here? What's going on a deeper level? So, and so it's an interesting terminology it uses over here. It uses the same word, but with two different meanings. In the beginning, it says, Vayetar Yitzhak Lashem, that Yitzhak is praying to God, opposite his wife. It used the word Vayetar. Now, Yetar is not the most common, is not the most common term for prayer. Rashi says it's talking about a particular kind of prayer. It's a prayer which you're really, really pleading and pleading. You're really, you know, going at it very strong. That's the idea. It's a very intense prayer. Hiftzir, Rashi says, it's like asking a lot, a lot, a lot. It's like really working very hard to push it through. Sometimes you pray, you know, it's accepted, not, but he's like going for it. And then it says, Vayasa lo Hashem, the same word as Vayetar, but God kind of is responding to him. It's the same word as Vayetar. So it's like he accepted his prayer. He's praying and God is praying. But we're going to see over here, you know, that these words can mean something else, especially the same terminology that's used in his prayer and God's response to his prayer. Both of them are using the words Vayetar. Here it's Vayetar and here it's Vayeoser. And God became, which can almost be read, Vayeoser Hashem, Hashem became in prayer, became affected by his prayer, which is what response means. He's impacted by his prayer and responding to the prayers. Okay. So we begin with the teaching of the Rav Shitzer Rebbe, in which he says, just a couple of thoughts, which I found really, really beautiful. One of them he brings from his father. His father was Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Linsk, a great, great, great rabbi, was the father of the Rabbi Naftali of Rav Shitzer. He wasn't a chassid. His son became a chassid. He was a big scholar. He brings from his father an explanation. Beautiful explanation. This itself, just for this little gem. It's a small little gem, but just for this gem itself, it's worth it the entire class. It says in chapter 23 in Psalms, it's a famous chapter, God is my shepherd. So we say, Hashem roi, Hashem is my shepherd, loy echsar, therefore I know I'll never be lacking. I'm not lacking anything because God is with me. When you know God is taking care of you, so you're not lacking. That's a simple meaning. There's he brings from his father a deeper meaning. What was King David's prayer? His prayer is that he should not be lacking, that God is my shepherd. Let me repeat that again. He prayed that I should never be lacking, that God is my shepherd. Which means like this: God is our shepherd. We are his flock. He intensely takes care of all of us. And he's involved in us in a very, very particular ways. And obviously, in as much as we tune into him, God is very tuned into us. The problem is that we get distracted. And sometimes we get worried and scared and we panic and we, you know, get lost. And we think that we're, you know, that we've been neglected. Sometimes there's that panic. Sometimes that thought that, you know, from where, from when, like King David says elsewhere, you know, from where will my help come? Then he immediately catches himself and immediately says, what do you mean from where? Ezrim Hashem, my help comes from God. There's no question in that. So the teaching is that that itself, the awareness and the knowledge and the acknowledgement and the constant the constant awareness that Hashem is my shepherd, loy echsar, I should never be lacking in that. And when you're not lacking in that, when one keeps their faith and their trust, then automatically everything is always good. Because with God is present and revealed, there's only goodness. So, but sometimes Hashem tests us. The test is, you know, to see if we know that he's always with us. He might be hiding, but even when he's hiding, he's there. So the meaning of the verse is, Hashem roi, that Hashem is my shepherd, loy echsar, I should never be lacking. I should never be low in fuel of this particular fuel that God is my shepherd. It's a beautiful, beautiful interpretation of those words. And hence he explains the meaning of Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem, that Yitzchak prayed to God, Lenochach Ishte, opposite his wife. So what he does over here is he takes the word Hashem and he reads it double. That means you can read the word La Hashem, which is in the middle of this verse. We can connect it to the beginning of the sentence and we can connect it to the end of the sentence. In other words, what he's doing is he's doubling the verse and he's reading it like this. Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem. Yitzchak prayed to God. What was the content of the prayer? So now he's doubling the word Hashem and he says, La Hashem Lenoichach Ishtei, that God should always be opposite his wife. It doesn't mean Rebecca, his wife. His wife over here is referring to the Jewish people. Israel is called God's wife. Yitzchak's prayer to God was that we should always have God in front of us. In other words, we should never be lacking that Hashem Roi, that Hashem is my shepherd. Ishtoi, his wife, which is the Jewish people, which is what we call Knesset Yisrael, Eshes Chayil, the woman of valor, which is Hashem's wife, which is Israel, as we see in the Song of Songs, that Israel, the Jewish people, are called Hashem's wife. It should always be Lenochach Ishto. It should always be in front of us, Hashem, that Hashem is Lenochach Ishto. And for that, Yitzchak prayed. A beautiful insight. Here is another take. He has like a whole bunch of interpretations on this idea of Ayeta Yitzchak Hashem Lenochach Ishto. Here's another one. And that is regarding, sages say that there is an old, old argument, dispute, a debate between God and Israel. We know we've grown estranged from each other. We know that in exile, the Jewish people have been banished from their home. The Holy Temple has been destroyed. There is at least on the outside level, on the experiential level, a great separation between Israel and Hashem, between the Jewish people and Hashem, between Yidden and Hashem. My question is, who's going to make, when a husband and a wife get into a fight, each one is waiting for the other one to apologize. Who's going to make, they both want to apologize. They both want to come back into the relationship. But sometimes their egos are getting in the way. And each one feels, because usually when there is a fight, no one is clean. Every fight involves a little bit of guilt on both sides. You said this and I said this and so on and so forth. The question is, who's going to be the courageous one and make the first move? So we expect God, because God is God, that he should be the courageous one. So we say to God, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, you return us to you. You make the first move. You make the first gesture. Pull us close to you. Show us a little love. Show us a little love. Show us a little kindness. And you will show us a little kindness. We say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. You bring us close to you. Vinashuva, we promise you we will repent. We will do true. You open up the door first. God on his hand responds. There's another verse. The verse says, Shuvi Eli, return to me. That pasuk is, I'll tell you where that verse is. There's a pasuk that says, in Malachi. It says, Shuvi Eli, return to me, Vashuvu Alecha, and I will return to you. God is pleading with us. Come on, make that move. At least show me a little bit that you're interested in me. Return to me, and I will return to you. And that's been going on for the last 2,000 years. We're waiting for God to do it. God is waiting for us, and we still have not figured it out. Because had we figured it out, Mashiach would be here already. So we're still debating. The truth is, how do we reconcile? We reconcile it that both of them come together. You can't We can't, it's not one without the other. In other words, Hashem is saying, you do tshuva, we should repent. We can't repent. What we can do is make a little desire to repent. You know, we can begin our turning towards God. And the moment we try, we make an effort, Hashem comes to meet our effort, and God helps us do the teshuva. Because we know sometimes, you know, we get stuck. We have various different situations, addictions, and things like that, where we get accustomed to certain ways, and it's just impossible to change, or almost impossible. So God says, I don't want you to do it on your own. But you do something. As we say, the sages say, God says to Israel, open up a needle point. I'm going to open up for you already the entranceway of the temple, huge entrance. But you make that first move. So that's the way it works. We begin the tshuva process, and Hashem then helps us. And obviously, you see it in people that are, you know, living sadly, growing up without observance. And suddenly there's something, they have some kind of an awakening or some kind of an inspiration. They have an exposure, and they want to come close. And then in an unbelievable, you know, completely inexplicable way, people start keeping all the mitzvot. They start keeping Shabbos and Kashrut. Okay, sometimes it takes a little longer, but how do people make such a radical transformation in their lives? You know, for us that we're accustomed, we're born with it, this is the way we've always been trained. But for people to take on so much at a time, obviously we realize that there's incredible divine assistance to help that happen. So it comes together. The Rav Tali of Rapshet says the debate is really not much of an argument, because you can't be one without the other. We can't do it. But he adds just a very, very important and wonderful idea. He says that, how does God assist us overcome our Yetzirah? Meaning, he assists us. You know, we're sinning, and why do we sin? Because of evil inclination. And we know that when we do tshuva, Hashem will assist us. What's the content of that assistance? The content of that assistance is that God is mimicking us. When we do tshuva, Hashem does tshuva. It's a powerful, powerful idea. We will create everything. When we do tshuva, God does tshuva. Now, if we learn tshuva in the regular sense, now, if it means just if we turn to God, God will turn his attention to us. Tshuva in terms of turning around, it's understood. But if tshuva is an understanding of repentance, which repentance means a certain sense of regret and a certain sense of guilt for having done things we shouldn't have done, how in the world can we apply that to God, that God is doing tshuva, which means he's regretting something that he did? He's all perfect. How can he regret? And the answer is, the Talmud tells us in Masechtas Brachos, a chapter in the tractate of Brachos, the Talmud tells us that there are three things that God regrets. As much as it's incomprehensible how that's possible, but there are three things that God is kind of feeling guilty about for having created. And one of them is the Yetzer Hara. In other words, the evil inclination. It didn't turn out. It didn't turn out as was expected. You know, Adam and Rishon, Adam and Chava were supposed to overcome the temptation of the snake, and they didn't, right? So it turned sour right at the beginning. This devilish, you know, entity that he created kind of went far beyond, you say, even God's wildest imaginations in corrupting humanity. Obviously, in the end, there is a plan. And obviously, in the end, we're going to rein him in. And obviously, in the end, we're going to transform it. And obviously, in the end, all the negativity is going to turn to good. But yet, the pain that it's causing, the suffering that it's causing, all the consequential elements that come from sin, which is all the suffering and so on and so forth, is very hurtful, Tasha. And every day, God regrets having made it. And the sages derive it from a pasuk. There's a verse that says, "Asher hara'isi," that I have done bad. It's a pasuk also in Micha. God says, "Asher hara'isi," that I have done bad. From here, the sages derive that God says, "I have done bad." You know, we sometimes follow, you know, a negative desire. We do something, Hashem also followed. Now, obviously, it needs a lot of commentary. I'm not saying this on a God is all perfect and so on and so forth. So what does it mean he did bad? But yet he regrets it. Now, what happens when God regrets the Yetzirah? What happens when he regrets it? What happens when he regrets it is that the Yetzirah loses his power and his steam, because God is the infuser of life into everything. When God pulls his interest out of something by regretting it, he diminishes its power. And obviously, the more we can get God to regret creating the evil inclination, the weaker the evil inclination becomes. Do we have any effect on that regret? And the answer is yes. When we regret the Yetzirah, when we regret our misdeeds, our listening to the wrong side, so as we regret that, God also regrets it. And that's the assistance that he gives us. And as we got this super robust evil inclination, and at the time we're dealing with it, it's like he's a master, God forbid, over our life. We know he's a 1,000-pound gorilla dominating our life. But when we regret it, when we start the movement of tshuva, and we want to be a little bit closer to God, and we regret following the evil inclination, that we know there's a general rule that the arousal from below causes a reciprocal element above. God is our shadow. He doesn't say that, but I'm just connecting it. God is our shadow. Whatever you do, when you dance, your shadow dances with you, right? So when we regret, God regrets along with us. And his regret diffuses the Yetzirah, diminishes him, decreases the evil inclination. And then we can do a complete shuv. Okay, that's the concept. That's the idea. So now he explains it in the meaning of this pasuk. He says, Vayetar Yitzchak, he's learning it as a process of tshuva. Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem. Yitzchak caused, and now they're going to listen to how he reads the words. Vayetar Yitzchak. Yitzchak was Ma'ater Hashem. What does that mean? Yitzchak caused Hashem that Hashem should be Yetar. What does that mean? Yetar Yitzchak Lashem. Yitzchak caused God. He says the word Vayetar, which is the letters Vav Yud Ayin Tav Resh. If you rearrange those letters, you get the word Har Oisi, which is the words the sages derive from the pasuk in Micha, which is the word where God says, I did bad. Har Oisi means literally, I did bad. So Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem, Yitzchak made God feel bad about the evil inclination that he created. So because the word Vayetar is also the word Har Oisi. So the Eibishter, as a result, meaning God, as a result of Yitzchak's tshuva, so this brought the Hashem, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem. Yitzchak made the Eibishter be Vayetar, made God be Vayetar, which Vayetar is the word Hara Oisi, made God regret the evil inclination, which that itself, and therefore, what happens as a response, as a result of that, what do we say the end of the verse is? Vayetar lo Hashem, vayeaser lo Hashem. As a result of Yitzchak making God say Hara Oisi, so then God, that very regret from Hashem now is channeled back down to the human, that Vayetar lo Hashem, that we can also transform our evil inclination to good. In other words, our change and our completion of our teshuvah is dependent on God's tshuva. In other words, the process of tshuva is a joint effort between we and Hashem. We do tshuva and God does tshuva together. What an amazing thought. It's not just us feeling bad. It's together with him, we both eliminate the negativity. Vayaser lo Hashem. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem is Yitzchak caused Hashem to be Vayetar. Vayetar lo Hashem means that Hashem caused Yitzchak to be Vayetar, which obviously in this case, Yitzchak doesn't only mean the narrow understanding of Yitzchak, but Yitzchak is referring to the greater state of Israel, of all the Jewish people, of all of his descendants. Yitzchak paved the road for a full-fledged tshuva. Now, just like he learns this in the process of tshuva, he says a similar idea in another piece Those of you who are used to my classes are generally used to one long development of an idea. That's unique to Chabad Hasidism, in which you take on a concept, an idea, and you develop one theme. In the writings of other Hasidic teachers, their teachers came in sporadic points, little sharp points of very deep ideas, but they're not fully like long pieces. They're shorter teachings. So therefore, it's a different style. So you're not accustomed to it. So in another teaching, he explains the similar idea of the joint effort between man and God, but not in regards to repentance, that we repent jointly, but that we pray jointly. And he says just an awesome idea. He says, Vayeta Yitzchak La'Hashem means Yitzchak caused God to pray. Not Vayeta Yitzchak La'Hashem, that Yitzchak prayed to God, but Vayeta Yitzchak La'Hashem, Yitzchak made God pray for him. So what's the highest level of prayer? The highest level of prayer is when you're not praying anymore. Your prayer is so deep and so powerful and so elevated that it causes above, it causes Hashem to pray. Now that sounds like, well, who is God praying to? God is God. He's the one that all prayer is directed to. The sages say, Menayim Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. The sages say, from where do you know that God prays as well? We need a lot, we need a complete class to understand what that means, that God is praying, but so it said. So what's the ultimate prayer? The ultimate prayer is to stimulate and to produce that God too is praying. For who? On your behalf. So you're praying and Hashem is praying. And even a deeper level. Once God is praying, then his prayer is now channeled down and becomes your prayer. So when you're praying, you're no more praying your own words. You're praying the prayer that God is praying. So again, so what's working over here is it's kind of simultaneously. It's like it says, he doesn't mention it over here. In Hasidus Chabad, it says, the Rebbe mentions this many times, that there's two teachings regarding Torah study. It says that when a person learns Chumash or learns Mishnah, Kala Koyde V'Shoyne, when a person studies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyde V'Shoyne Keneg, that God reads along with us. That means every time we're studying, right now we're giving a class, we're learning Torah, God right now is teaching these very verses. He's learning Torah with us because we're learning, we're saying, whoever studies Torah, it stimulates, it causes Hashem to study. We actually learned this in Tanya yesterday, that when the human being down here is studying Torah, the divine source above is studying the Torah as well. So it comes out according to that, we cause God to speak the words. But then there is another teaching. The verse says, "Tam l'shoyni imrasecha," my words, my mouth should answer your words, which is explained that when God is speaking Torah, we're supposed to, when we learn Torah, we're supposed to learn it as if we're not saying any of our words. We are just God's microphone in this world. He is speaking through us. Our words are just channeling his word. But then if our words are channeling his words, then who is the stimulator of the word? Who is really producing the words? He is producing the words. And we're just funneling it. But didn't we just say before that when we study, God is studying? In other words, we're the stimulators. So who's causing who to talk? Is God causing us to talk? Or are we causing him to talk? And the answer the Rebbe explains in the Memarim, in the discourse, is that both are true. It starts with us. When we learn something, when we decide we're going to study, engage, and study the Holy Torah, so by us studying, God now simultaneously is joining us in the study session. Once God is speaking it, we become so nullified to the holy words that are coming from above, so now we're answering after him the words that we caused them to say because we're studying. So it's a double thing. We cause him and he causes us. Same idea, he's saying it regarding prayer. The highest level of prayer is that when you're praying, you're causing God to pray, and then your prayers are no more your prayers, but it's God's prayer. And that's hinted to in these words. Vayeta Yitzchak L'Hashem, Yitzchak made God pray. Not he prayed to God. He made the Eberster pray. And what happened? And why was God praying? Hold on, give me a minute. Give me just 1 second. Now, before we get to the Pirush of the words, because he says this in two pieces, I want to make sure that I'm conveying the idea fully. He says, he brings it from the Degel Machne Ephraim, which was the grandson of the holy Baal Shem Tov. The sages say, these are gems, you know, each teaching of these is a very powerful gem. Sages say regarding great tzaddikim like Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa was a very great a saintly man, and he was known that he was the one that when he ever had, you know, people needed a miracle, you would go to him and ask him to pray. Someone was very ill or something like that. His prayers were like always accepted on high. So but the sages say in the Mishnah that when they would come to me, he would immediately, you know, right, he would pray and immediately he would say, if the ill person will live or die, or, you know, if whatever you're praying for, if it was accepted or not. They asked him, how do you know? Is it a prophecy? How do you know? So he said, no. If the prayer is flowing from my mouth, I know it's been accepted. But if I'm having a hard time praying, I know it's not accepted. Why? What's the idea of it coming out easily? You know, we find sometimes, even when you're giving a class or whatever it is when you're speaking, sometimes the words flow and sometimes you're a little, you know, you're a little, the words don't come out so well. So why is that such a sign? So he explains, again, from the Degel Machne Ephraim. I don't know if the Degel Machne Ephraim says this on his own or he says it in the name of his grandfather, the Beholdi Baal Shem Tov. When a tzaddik says that the prayer is flowing from his mouth, it means that he's not praying. He's just a channel. When he's praying, God is the words are coming from above. He's just tuning his channel. It's like a radio. You tune to, you know, to this station. And once you tune it and you hit the right, I don't know, you know, used to have a dial. Now it's buttons, everything's digital, it's much simpler. But when you used to have the dial and, you know, sometimes, you know, you get the static, it's in between stations, you're not exactly there. When you hit exactly that point, you're getting a very clear transmission. So that's what they're saying. You know, if the prayer is synchronized with God praying and the prayers are flowing from above, then I know it's accepted because then he's tuning into some divine energy. But if I'm praying and it's just human prayer, it's not connecting, it's not channeling, it's not attaching itself, then I know it doesn't work. And that's why the Talmud says that the early righteous, the early pious people would wait for a duration of time. They would say an hour. Every time before they pray, they would sit for an hour and then they would pray. So simply it's because they wanted to, you know, push out all distractions and be able to focus. Because when you're praying, you're supposed to feel like you're standing in front of God without any other thought in your mind, just speaking directly to Hashem. But he says it's deeper than that. The reason of this meditation, of this 1 hour silence before they would pray, is to be able to fine-tune and catch that channel, to ride the divine wave. If they're catching on to something, you know, tuning into that, then their prayer was real. And they're just receiving the Eberster's prayer. And that's the meaning, again, Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem, that Yitzchak made God pray. And then Vayaser Loy Hashem, then God sent, downloaded that prayer down to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is causing, now why is God praying now? Because Yitzchak is praying, because we're praying. Our prayer triggers God to pray. But then we don't want to pray our prayers, we want it to be his prayer. So Hashem, the Eberster, imprayered him that he can speak. He can speak. The Alter Rebbe says the same idea on Shir HaShirim, where he explains that the real way of praying is when you're not talking. The Shekhinah speaking through you in your prayer. Obviously, it's a high level, but that's what he says. Hashem made him into a Yitzchak made God into a davener, and God made Yitzchak into a davener. Same idea like by the tshuva, like we said earlier. And then he continues, actually, in the first piece, that's which means, Vataha Rivke Ishtoi, Rivke, his wife, became pregnant. He says, when you receive that download, but you didn't yet convey it, when you speak that divine inspiration, that's called birth. But when you receive the download and you didn't yet speak it, it means you've been impregnated with something divine. And that's the meaning. Rivka is referring, even though we're talking about Yitzchak, but Rivka is really the souls. Rivka is referring, the feminine is referring to the Israel, the Jewish people below. But as a result of Yitzchak's prayer, and therefore God's reciprocation and God's channeling down those prayers from above, the person is impregnated with this prayer, and then eventually, Vatela, she gives birth, is that the ability to pray on such a high, powerful level. This is really, really, really amazing. So now we'll take we'll stop a moment with the B'nai Yisachar. I'm sorry, with the Zera Kodesh from the Holy Rav Shitzer, and we'll share a very beautiful teaching from the B'nai Yisachar on the same idea. Yitzchak prayed opposite his wife. So let me tell you a funny story. That's why I'm excited about this teaching. I feel like I'm sleep talking. I'm so tired. Just Monday, I was in New York for the weekend. I was at the conference of all the Chabad rabbis, or many Chabad rabbis. And the Monday morning, I flew back. And when I got onto the flight, it was full of Chabad rabbis, the flight. So a lot of friends of mine. As I'm setting into my seat, I look, because I wanted to send my wife, maybe that, I don't remember why, but I looked, or maybe I just heard the captain or the pilot make an announcement. And he said that we're on flight 515. This was a flight from JFK to LAX. It's flight 515. So I love numbers, and I'm thinking flight 515. 515 is a very powerful number. So I got excited, and I actually texted two rabbis on the plane about the significance of us being on flight 515, that it's awesome. And I said, because 515 is related to prayers being accepted. And my thing was, since we're on such a flight, 515, let all of our prayers, which we were in New York, and we went to the Rebbe, and so on and so forth, and we prayed. And I actually was there that very morning when I went from Kennedy to the airport. I went to the OL, I davened. So when I was back on the flight, it was just right from there, I said, wow, let the prayers be received. We're on flight 515. That's a good number for the prayers to be received. Little did I know that 2 days later, I'm going to open up this book, and he's going to talk about how this parsha and this whole idea of Yitzchak davening together with his wife and God answering the prayer is related to the number 515. Why? So he says an amazing thing. We know that from here to the heaven, there are seven heavens according to Torah, whatever that means, seven rakim, seven heavens. And the Talmud says that the distance between here and the first rakia, the first firmament, is 500 years. I don't know what that means. You know, does that mean that it takes a person to walk 500 years or to fly 500 years? What exactly is the speed that we're talking about that is a distance of 500 years? I don't know. But that's what they say. Then they say that the space of the heaven itself, the actual rakia, is also a distance of 500 years. Then between, okay, so then you got already, 1,000 years. You got 2 times 500. But now you're going, once you finish the first heaven, there is now a space between the first heaven and the second heaven. It's also 500 years. And the second firmament, 500 years. So you have seven firmaments. Then you have the space between the seven firmaments, gives you 14 times 500. And then on top of it is where, and that the highest one is called Aravos, the highest firmament. So to get up there, it's 15 times 500. I guess to get above, it's 14 segments of 500 and then above it. So it's 15 times 500. And that's the significance of 515. Now, who says 515 has any significance? Well, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was pleading with God to go into the land of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to God. It says in the in Parshas Veschanon, the second the Torah portion in Deuteronomy, it says over there, Veschanon El Hashem, I pleaded with God. So why do they use an interesting word, Veschanon? It should have said Ve'espala. So the sages say, Veschanon is the numeric value of 515. Let's see. We don't trust anybody over here. We want to check it out. So the word ve'eschanon, right away you look for the big numbers. So nun and nun, the two nuns, give you 100. 50 and 50 is 100. Then you have a tough. And the word ve'eschanon is a tough. So it's 400. So the two nuns and the tav is already 500. 400 and 100 is 500. Then you have a aleph, a ches, which is 9, and a vav, va-es-chanon, va-es-vav-aleph, and a ches. And the rest of the letters we did already. So 9 and 6 is 15. So ves-chanon is gematria 515. Moshe prayed 515 prayers. So why is that the number that Moshe prayed? Because let's take a look at another word, tefillah, which is the word for prayer. Let's do the numeric value of the word tefillah. Tav is 400, pei is 80, so 480. Lamed is 30, so 480 plus 30 is 510. Hey is another 5. Tefillah is 515. For whatever reason, prayer is associated powerfully with the number 515, and the reason is, which he explains, because prayer has to break through all the heavens, and it has to reach God Himself above the heavens, above all the spheres, and that number is 515. Why 515? It's 15 times 500 to burrow through all the levels. It also says, by the angels, it says that their feet of the Chayos HaKodesh, of the supernal beasts, Regel Yeshara, they have a straight leg. So the word Yeshara is Yud Shin Resh He. Shin and Resh. Shin is 300, Resh is 200, it's 500. Yud and the He is another 15, 515. The angels, I guess, these special angels called the holy beast, the Chayos HaKodesh, can make that journey. So who are the main players in the Jewish people when it comes to prayer? Who are the ones? So we know King David, of course. But everything has to originate in our patriarchs, in our fathers. They have to pave the way for everything. Maisa of the similar bonum, the deeds of the fathers, the sign of the children. So Avram, we said earlier, he's the pillar of kindness, of good deed. Yitzchak is the pillar of prayer. And Yaakov is the pillar of Torah. So let's take a look. So if Yitzchak is the pillar of prayer, you got to find the 515 by Yitzchak. Where do we find the 515 by Yitzchak? Well, let's see. Let's see where the gematria. Let's see. Yitzchak is gematria 208. Yud and Tzadik is 100. And Kuf is another 100, is 200. And Ches is 8. Yitzchak is 208. Rivka, you got to add another 200 from the Reish, is 408. And the Beis, 410. Kuf is another 100, it's 500. And a Hey from Rivka. So, it's not 500, 510 plus another Hey, 515. Yitzchak and Rivka together are 515. And they're the ones who prayed together. And they reached 515. See, the main reason that you have to reach all the way high is primarily when you need to change. The point of prayer over here is to change already something that is set within the fixed system of creation. There are certain things that are set and fixed. We spoke about it in the discourse we learned 2 weeks ago about having children, that when sometimes there are certain things that are set in the cosmos, in order to change them, you have to go beyond the whole system. You have to reach the Keter. You have to go higher than it all. That concept of reaching higher than it all is related to 515. So Yitzhak and Rivka together, the pillars of prayer. And we find something really cool. I took this siddur. This is not the siddur I daven in. I used the Chabad siddur. This is the regular Nusach Sfard siddur. But if you take a look on Shabbos by davening, we say Shochenad. Everybody's familiar with that. That's like where the Chazan begins, you know, doing the cantorial pieces here. And then we say Bifi Yesharim Tisromeim, in the mouths of the straight, of those that are righteous, straight, Tisroimim, you are exalted. And in the lips, tzadikim of the saintly, Tizbarech, you are blessed. Ubashain chasidim, and in the tongue of the pious, Tiskadash, you are sanctified. Ubekerev kedoshim, and in the innards of the holy ones, Tishalal, you are praised. So if you take a look carefully, I think, if you see it from here, the first letters going down of these special people, that they're the ones praising and whatever, is Yesharim, Tzadikim, Chasidim, Kedoshim. The righteous, the saintly, the pious, and the holy ones. The first letters spell Yitzchak. You see, it's actually bold over here. It's highlighted, Yitzchak. Then the middle letters of what they are doing, they are exalting, they are blessing, they are sanctifying, and they are praising. So the main letter that's tis is that you are, but the friend Roimeim, Barech, Kadesh, and Hallel spells Rivka, Rebecca. Yitzchak, Rebecca. There's actually in Sefer Rokeach from the Rishonim who say that the reason why Yitzchak and Rivka hinted over here, because Yitzchak and Rivka actually composed these words. When they prayed for children, that's why their names are here. They're hinted here because this was their prayer. It's going to give new meaning to my prayer every time Shabbos when we say this. We only say this on Shabbos and holidays. So powerful. Yitzchak and Rivka actually said these words. Why Yitzchak and Rivka at all? Why not anybody else? There's the real power of prayer. But it's 515. So that's the meaning of, now in order to get 515, you need to have Yitzchak together with Rivka. That's the meaning. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem. Yitzchak prayed to God lenochach ishtei, opposite his wife. Opposite his wife means this Yitzchak Rivka. They're combining the two names together where the gematria of the two names together create 515. Why? Ki akarahi, because Rivka was barren. That means based on the natural scheme of things, the way the world was set up from the beginning, Rebecca can't have any children. Because she can't have any children, you need to like change the whole system around from beyond creation. For that, you need to climb up above it all. You have to get above the ladder, above the highest rung. And that's 515. That's his explanation. Really, really special. And I was excited because I, you know, what are the chances that I would sit out of nowhere in the middle? And in the summer, I think about the number 515 because when we read Veschanon, that's where the number comes up. But just now in this time of the year, who's thinking 515? But the flight number was 515, and I was connecting it to prayer, saying the prayers were received for sure because we're on flight 515. And then lo and behold, I open up over here. I just checked this. I just saw this 2 hours ago, an hour ago. Really cool. I love when these things happen because, you know, you feel like you're a little connected. It's very special. And one more teaching from the Bnei Yisus regarding the same idea that he did, he prayed Lenoichach Ishtoi. Really, really fascinating, small, short teaching. He says the best time to pray for something is while you're doing a mitzvah related to that thing. For example, if you need parnasa, so while you're writing a check to give a tzedakah, giving of your money for tzedakah, for charity, while you're writing the check, pray to God that you should have a livelihood. Pray to God for assistance in your business. Pray to God for whatever. Because you're doing a mitzvah. You're not doing it because on condition, but to pray to Hashem for something that you need. And while you're doing a mitzvah of that particular thing, It has extra potency and extra power. That's what it says. Now, so then what would be the real time then, the best time of praying for children would be while you're engaged in the act of creating a child. Now, the act of creating a child is the act of intimacy between a husband and a wife. That's the time that you're doing the mitzvah of having children. That's our contribution. You know, whether we're going to have a child or not, that's up to God. But what we could do is get married and have physical intimacy, and that will, you know, hopefully be successful, and a child will be born. But he says the problem is that being that the intimacy involves also evil inclination, there's some element of we know Yetzer Hara is very strong in human sexuality. And in order for it to be really pure, the thought has to be only to fulfill God's will and only for the mitzvah of having children, not for one's personal, you know, excitement and pleasure that's outside of it. I'm not getting into pleasure. I'm saying that the purest element of an intimacy where it's pure and completely without Yetzer Hara is when it's purely with, you know, for God's sake, without any personal motive. And it's very, very hard to do that. So therefore, he says it's not we. Ordinary people can't really pray during that time because we're in a state that is compromised. The holiness of a person is compromised at that moment with Yetzer Hara. So it's not really a time, at least you're not allowed to even say holy things. You're not allowed to say God's name. You're not allowed to say holy things in the time of that state. But to tzaddikim like Yitzchak, who have risen beyond, they've transcended the sin of the tree of knowledge, and they were in a state of total rectification. So they're like Adam and Eve before they sinned. And it says that Adam and Eve before they sinned, Nachmanides writes, Ramban says, to them, physical intimacy was exactly the same sense of servitude and doing God's will, like putting on tefillin. We all understand that when we're putting on tefillin, we don't engage with evil inclination and all kinds of, you know, tefillin is, you know, it's an act that is purely a godly act. The same was the act of Adam and Chava in their intimacy. Tzadikim reached that level. So that's the verse. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem, when did Yitzchak pray? It's an amazing pirush. Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem, when did Yitzchak pray? And his prayer was answered. As we said earlier, the best time to pray for something is while you're engaged in the mitzvah. In this particular case, we can do it, but Yitzchak was able to do it. So Vayet Lenoy Chachishtoy, when he was together with his wife, during his intimacy with his wife, that's when he prayed and that's when he was answered with children. Very, very, very phenomenal explanation. In any case, I was going to teach another teaching for the end of the parsha, but we'll leave it for now for this, because this is all on the subject of the prayer. So we have, just to summarize, we have the idea that a very important prayer is like the first pirush we learned, Vayata Yitzchak L'Hashem L'noy Chachishtoy, that Yitzchak is praying that we should always recognize that God is next to us, that Hashem is our shepherd. That was the content of the prayer. Then we learned another teaching, Vayata Yitzchak L'Hashem, the joint tshuva that is. Now, when we do tshuva, we do jointly with God tshuva, because our tshuva causes God to regret that together we do tshuva. And that's how we weaken the Yetzer Hara and we're transformed from our negativity to holiness. It's the double language. We learned the same idea by prayer. We pray so God prays, and when God prays, we causes us to say the same prayer that he is saying. And it's the highest level of prayer, when our words of prayer are his words. And when he's feeding us the prayer, we're downloading the prayer. And then finally, we also learned this whole teaching that Yitzchak and Rivka together combined to the number of 515, which is the ability to transcend the whole order of Ishtalshalut, of the whole order of the way things are, even above the highest heaven. And Yitzchak and Rivka, because they're the institutors of prayer, give us the power of that transcendence. And finally, we learned the idea of Yitzchak L'Nechlishta, that Yitzchak prayed, and he was able to pray even in an otherwise would be a compromised state, spiritual state. And that's the idea of Yitzchak L'Hashem L'Chachishtai. The main thing is that all of our prayers should be answered. We should reach a time that we have no distractions and we can pray like our grandparents prayed. And Hashem should answer every single one of us in our prayer, especially the most important prayer of it all, the coming of Mashiach should be answered now. B'chaim.